This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
The first one is called Vaquero. The cowboy stands beneath a brick orange moon. The top of his oblong head is blue, the sheath of his hips is too. In the dark brown night, your delicate cowboy stands quite still. His plain hands are crossed, his wrists are embossed white. In the background night is a house, has a blue chimney top. Yai, yai, the cowboy's eyes are blue, the top of the sky is too. Can I be heard all right, I guess? This one is called The Deer's Eye, the Hunter's Nose. Still moon hooves bang the hard gray earth, flash by their clatter flown against the froze red barn walls. The ruts break and shatter off barn doors. The acoustic cold breaks on the ear of the accordate hunter, a year of dead beetles. Upon us the mountain affronting hills, Idaho rocks drop inside an old mine where deer's eyes wind the light into yellow balls, back of darkness, away down under the plaid hat hunter's tread, who spreads a plaid tongue on his lip, guessing with his quick alcoholic glance. There is no scent in the nose of him, just snot, and we in a shack hear his shot vowing to return the fire, but we have no howitzer for such a siege. But guess the horse runs, sparking eye, steaming nostril, drops gleaming froze turds, which hitting the ground rattle enormous grape shot down the hill. Flash, the deer eye opens in the mind on the acoustics of the hunt. Is it the run of the horse? Is it the blunt diarrhea of the gun? Is it the rage of the horse? Trail Creek, August 11, The Reason of High Powers. Sage smoke has a bad effect on the nose, the headache from its fullness, running along the edge of the flaming grass, the lungs refuse to take it. The rain clouds promise to finish our work, over the mountaintop clouds rush but yield nothing. The southern boy with Alaska, sewn to his shirt sleeve, says, there wasn't nothing to do there, I finally went to the PX and bought me a gun. The idle mind is a receptacle for all casual dissatisfaction and loitering. The breeze is still hot from the fire as we wait. Below the silver water tank at the brink of the fire line, the houses of the lower, upper, middle class stand by their colored squares, grass squares, $15,000, $30,000. The capricious fire never threatened those struggling properties. When will the truck take us to eat? As the Alaska boy's friend said, chicken fried steak. Man, that's the only good thing about this, and I tell you, they got it at the truck stop. You know how some of it will stick in your teeth. Sage smoke is light. It goes off in the wind quickly, and the smoke of the June grass lingers along the ground. But this, they said, will all be green next spring. The wheat fields were miraculously untouched, for the ruinous flame did not leap off the dun hill toward them. That storage remains intact. Food for us does not grow, nor is it consumed. Those investors again chuckle, if they think of it at all, to see their endeavor so blessed by a wind we thought impartial. This is titled Home on the Range, February 1962. Flutes and the harp on the plain is a distance of pain and waving reeds, the scale of far-off trees, notes not, of course, upon a real harp, but chords in the thick clouds, and the wind reaching its arms toward West Yellowstone. Moving to the east, the grass was high once, and before white wagons moved, the hawk, Proctor of the hill, still is. Oh God, did the chunky Westerner think to remake this in his own image? Oh God, did the Pioneer Society sanctify the responsible citizen to do that face like a plot of ground? Was it iron locomotives and shovels were hand tools and barbed wire motives for each man's fenced off little promised land? Or the mind of Dent or of Carson? Oh Earp, those serpents of responsible destruction, posses led by a promising girl wielding a baton upon the street, a Sacagawea wearing a baseball cap eating a clock bar, and flutes and the harp are on the plain to bring the last leading edge of stillness, brought no water, brought dead roots, like an allotment of tool handles to their premises, and they cry in pain over daily income, 100 years of planned greed, loving the welfare state of new barns and bean drills, hot passion for the freedom of the dentist. Their plots were America's first subdivisions called homesteads. Lean, American Gothic quarter sections, gaunt look, managing to send their empty-headed son, who is a ninny, to Nebraska to do it all over again to the ground, a prairie dog hole, and always they smirk at starvation and consider it dirty, a joke their daughters learn from their new husbands. This poem is called Comparison. She is a loud mouth and gross. Mostly it's her arm, like Mexico, with Yucatan, a clenched fist. She spills coffee over her skirt and crumbs of cookies. Her new teeth cut the sides of her tongue, but she talks all the louder. Her auditors despise her. She uses words like a butcher, a meat axe, not giving a damn, a miser with care. She is sanguine. She gives a bad impression. Her grossness appeals an accomplished boor. One wishes she said less, used Yucatan more. Are they dancing? There is a sad carnival up the valley. The willows flow, it seems, on trellises of music. Everyone is there today, everyone I love. There is a mad, mad fiesta along the river. Thrilling ladies sing in my ear, where are your friends lost? They were to come, and banjos were to accompany us all, and our feet were to go continually. The sound of laughter was to flow over the water. What was to have been is something else, I am afraid. Only a letter from New Mexico and another from a mountain by Pocatello. I wonder what instruments are playing and whose eyes are straying over the mountain, over the desert, and are they dancing or gazing at the earth? Sure never tried to do this without smoking. This one is called Hawthorne, end of March 1962. That day was dark. Fog fell down our mountain. The snows were wet patches, and around the legs laid as lichen around the barn's dark red shadows. The day he died, the slow, quiet break. What an odd person to die beside, Franklin Pierce. Never go to the mountains, near the inn. The air is spoken for. I thought, how just. Americans still love morality with many preliminary questions. He was fierce for the slight connection back to what there was. This poem is completely abstract as far as I know. It's called an inauguration poem, and I wrote it during the last inauguration. Unasked, of course. Out of the zone of interior armies, the Nebraska of our terror flies, promulgating the statistical laws of our starvation, where on the spinning habitation men's eyes see the regiments of vegetation, and one man is the mouth of all, and a narrowing, harrowing rib. In Denmark, that dope-delivered country is not starker than the staple-deprived herdsman of the African visit. Out of the zone of interior armies come the advocates of nations where none can breathe outside the given crush, forsaking even established ignorance, promulgating desire, born against the honed knife of one secretary or another. Out of the zone of interior armies, the trains of El Presidente shoot laden with food for no destination anyone has charted, because in a storage bin in the Midwest was held the grand conference on the grammar of scarcity, and the farmer stands beside the senseless soil and mumbles that this farce starvation is named parity. Out of the interior skulls of our rulers step the slim, hygienic elegance of patrons of painted walls and bushmen's haircut, gutful with the art of wishing rice upon the multitude to make marriage of new nations, to be ridiculed by coronets of old jazz like "Don't have too many babies unless you have the victuals." The encounter. The reach is sudden. I heard of Harvey today. The news is 11 years old. A man spoke at the end of the conversation. "We were in Vantage, Washington, yesterday. My informant said he knew you, too." There was a laurel bush 15 feet high by the door where I lived back then. The softness of greeting and the light in his laugh, they said a dying bird was in his cornea. It may be there were Doric columns inside his ears. His world was unluckily confused. He always shook his head without speaking. Quietly and while at rest on the trim grass, I have gazed, admonished myself for never having been here at the graveside and read the names of my time wanderers. And now the light noise of the children at play on the inscribed stone jars my ear, and they whisper and laugh, covering their mouths. "My darling," my daughter reads, "some of the markers reflect such lightness to her reading eyes. Yea, as I rove among those polished and lime blocks, I am moved to tears, and I hear the depth in 'Darling, we love thee,' and 'As in safe in heaven.' I am going off to heaven, and I won't see you anymore. I am going back to the country, and I won't be here anymore. I am going to die in 1937. But where did you die, my wanderer? You under the grave grass with the tin standard whereat I looked and tried to read the blurred ink. I cannot believe you were slighted, knowing what I do of cost and evil, yet tin is less than granite. Those who buried you should have known a 6-inch square of sandstone flush with the earth is more proper for the gone than blurred and faded flags. Than the blurred and faded flags I am walking with in the graveyard. Across the road in the strawberry field, two children are stealing their supper fruit abreast in the rows in the fields of the overlord. Miller, his authentic name, and I see that name represented here. There is that social side of burial, too, long residence and the weight of the established local dead. My eyes avoid the largest stone, larger than the common large, good pole Matthews, pioneer, and that pioneer sticks in me like a wormed black cherry in my throat. No date, nothing but that zeal, that trekking and business, that presumption in a sacred place where children are buried and where peace, as it is in the fields and the country, should reign. A wagon wheel is buried there. Lead me away to the small, quiet stones of the unpreposterous dead, and leave me my tears for 'Darling, we love thee,' for budded on earth and blossomed in heaven, where the field birds sing and the fence rows, and there is possibility, where there are not the loneliest of all. Oh, the stones not yet cut." This one is called Hemlocks. Red house, green tree in mist, how many furlong hours, how that split wood warmed us, how continuous. Red house, green tree I miss. The first snow came in October, always, for 3 years, and sat on our shoulders. That clean gray sky, That fine curtain of rain, like nice lace, held our faces up in it, a kerchief for the nose of softest rain. Red house, those green mists rolling down the hill, held our heads when we went walking on the hills to the side with pleasure. But sad, that tall grass. Toggenburg goat stood in, looking, chewing. Time was its cud, oh, red barn mist of our green trees, of him who locks our nature in his deep nature. How continuous do we die to come down as rain, that land's refrain. No, we never go there anymore. Time Blonde is the title of this. Time Blonde. She was a figurine moving among the hills of Seattle, experimentally clothed. She drove an experimental car to the stores. What was life then? It was wandering between the planted trees of a climate of light red rain. It was just the going to and fro in a light cold climate, hoping to meet, but nothing said, to bed if she had the time. By which I mean, didn't we wait much of the time staring out at the various parts of the city, and during those nights of waiting, the little red lights in the water of the bays, did they not say no use? Now, those were from a collection called Hands Up. And these are from a collection called Idaho Out. And they're much later. The first one is called Daffodil Song. The horns of yellow on this plain resound, and the twist on the air of their brilliance. Say where I will find a love or an arabesque of such rash fortune. A song. There is a blue sky over the flower. There is a green sea beneath, yet there is no bliss along my way now. In the casual flight of this day, there is a yellow flower edged in blue. There is a sky filled with snow, and along my way there are few bright calls of spring. There is hardly a chance. There are ahead no tricks to turn a season. All friends are sober. I have a dark blue sky inside my head. Ah, there is a flower here and there, and yes, believe, I'll miss this time, sometime, these old cold mountains, these cold blue hills, sometime. This is called Love Song. Out of the north branch of the river, out of the foam of it running, runs my desire, so the fish fall never ending, continually forward, and she stays eternally there, and indolent bright winter stars are in her eyes, stays indolent as she resides, all seasons by the fork of my desire. The next one is also called Love Song. Captured, her beauty would not leave her. Thus inclined by the railing, she never lifted her head from the waters. A blue-gray gull drifts past, and she moves from the rapture of the ascending fog. Lost in the moving passengers, she left the ship and entered the city. This March afternoon, pride kept me away. Her eyes, indelicate as they were there nonetheless, and her eyes guided me into the recesses of my own untrackable world. Oh, goddesses, Did I, Lycophagus, crave a future rule of this world over as over the years I grow older? A bitter clot of time rides in my throat, and nay, once again, the graces say. This one is called Morning Letter, March 29, 1963. No hesitation would stay me from weeping this morning for the miners of Hazard, Kentucky, the mine owners' extortionary skulls, whose eyes are diamonds, don't float down the rivers as they should of the flood. The miners, cold, starved, driven from work in their homes, float though and float on the ribbed ships of their frail bodies. Oh, go, letter, keep my own misery close to theirs. Associate me with no other honor. This one is called A Walk of Spring. No redemption without sin. The sinless man cannot be saved, and lust without love, perhaps. Love, though, knows lust in her bed or in her small head, so the maiden's thoughts are always private, and all the men in the world are in her stable. They come out one at a time, at night or by day, seeking the trails of the world, the colorful countries of their desire, receiving them, or in the latitude of their torture, they do not. Melville's Clootz, in a womanless novel, parades the charged speech of his Congress of the passion of the word. It can occur thus in any assembly. Or Rima, in a lost forest from a lost race, can, or in the starker terrestrials of the north, the woman descends hopelessly and impassively into the clay-smelling tarn. Antique are the passions. An April woman is beside us again. This is called The Territories. Two children are playing. April, they slide down a gradual slope on the snow. One cannot make a Chinese poem in the Wild West. Ghosts of Shakespeare troopers linger on the corners in the little towns, and dust journeys up the canyons away from the sun, late this year, late every year. The territories are lonely. Juniper, green, the coat of the boy on the hill. Sun red, the hair of the other, northerly white, the hills block quat, is a passage of great yearning, nothing self-contained and ultimate, no thing or planting refined with nostalgia. Where frontiers held men of passion away from home, they now yield, and there are many passengers who would leave all, be gone, bye-bye, with a glance. The next one is called A Poem While Waiting. Van Gogh's boats sat on the beach as I sit here, good Lord, as I sit here. And Van Gogh's boats are upturned, the bows set east, as I do. And the cross pieces on the mast, they are strung out as my arms. Oh, were I only red and white and blue, and in the distance more white as the sails, the lonely white triangulars are diminishing. Oh, but I am only, as the distance goes, blue. This one is called Dark Ceiling. Broad black scar the valley is, and Sunday is where in the wide arc the small lights of homes come on in that trough. Burnish my heart with this mark. Furnish my soul with the hope far away and by a river in the darkness of a walnut stand. There is no home, no back. All is this wrong key, the lark sings, but his voice trails off in the snow. He has not brought his meadow. The starling's insolent whistle is the truth here. Dark smoke drifts in from the morning fertilizer factory, and men there return lamely to work, their disputes not settled. This one's called The Smug, Never Silent Guns of the Enemy. Their muzzles are, this is a kind of a paranoid poem. Their muzzles are at the door. Did you see them? Did he see them rising out of the silos, a winter wonderland? The white north is busy, the smug guns keep on. The whites of their eyes are gray, and disputation of more guns come into the ear. The price of sugar, the death of great ladies. I'll shoot my second if you'll shoot yours. Concentrated insecticides flow like milk in the river. You will be greeted on the outskirts of town with a vegetable brush and tips on living. An interview with a turkey farmer with gobbling in the background. The news that Bertrand Russell is a sick old fool. The seminar ends when the squat colonel announces the way to peace through war. And more corrupted reports follow you out the door. You are in the open, saturated air and return zipping up your pants, having made more of the latest news on the new snow. The next one was intended to be a note for a poem, but I thought the note interested me, so I left it. It's called Fort Hall Obituary. Fort Hall is the Indian reservation near Pocatello. Fort Hall Obituary, a note. A drinking party, no war party. Sunday morning, they drank Solax containing methyl. Fort Hall Indian police found Rita Pooney, 37, dead inside a shack. Big Bear passed out in a car outside the door. They were all watching closely. Big Bear taken Bannock County Jail, warrant charging disorderliness, checked regularly. But when Deputy John Gouge checked at 7:20 a.m., there was no more Big Bear. And thus, Coroner Justin Juice said, no goddamn autopsy here into this here death. I am satisfied they died from drinking. And Rita and Big Bear are. This is called For Jimmy Workman, the bandit, caught in Phoenix. His brow arch, Hollywoodian, skillful and mean. There are hardly any handsome bandits anymore. One forgets they are not all as post office walls. About the handsome face of a bandit, there is something pure, who takes the useless backwater out of circulation dollars from the Bank of America. They say he had gone to Phoenix, a snowbird to winter, but well armed and supplied with cash. Not to praise him, yes, to praise him. I was sorry those FBI thugs got him. My first wish was that he sometime may be sprung to spring Jimmy Workman, the professional, a worker in a trade unpopular, but a master craftsman another time. So, are you sorry? If the classics, does it trouble your sleep? This is called An Attempt at Self-Sorrow. No winter has been this desperate, more than foolish preaching required, or more than lazy thought could have made, and the silent cowardices of which any man has more than enough have made their trenches in that smallest terrain I call the battlefield of my emotion. When I told myself I was a man, I was a beetle and hid in any handy crevice. First, and not important, a great snow fell. And the first plan of our movement, laid in September, seemed wrong after much work was done to bring it to execution. Secondly, and as an augury of failure, there were the gatherings and freak flights of the magpies, their hideous noise before dawn, when the eyes had barely yielded sleep, their domain. Uncountable were the mornings the magpies arrived. The sharp northwest gales continue. The cat lies under the eaves, waiting, watching the sparrows. Wherever, in the mountains or in the valley, I don't know, but our pleasure is out hunting, hunting its own cure. Christmas is nearly here. I wait, like an idiot, for the great horned owl to return, to restore my senses. with his piercing eyes to look at me, but he comes down from the mountains to the dead tree only on the coldest night, and not to see me. It's called From Gloucester Out. It has all come back today, that memory for me is nothing there ever was, that man so long when stretched out and so bold on his own ground, and so much lonely anywhere. But never to forget that moment when we came out of the tavern and wandered through the carnival. They were playing the Washington Post March, but I mistook it for Manhattan Beach, for all around the colored lights of delirium, to the left the boats of Italians, and ahead of us past the soldier, the shoulders of St. Peter's, the magician of those fishermen, the bay stood, and immediately in it the silent, inclined pole where tomorrow the young men of this colony, so dangerous on the street, will fall harmlessly into the water. They are not the solid, but they are the solidly built citizens, and they are all about us as we walk across the square with their black, provocative women, slender, like whips of sex in the Sousa-filled night. Where edged by that man in the music of a transplanted time and enough of drunkenness to make you senseless of all but virtue, there is never, no, there is never a small complaint that all things are poverty and life one wars on with many embraces, or it was a time that was perfect, but for my own hesitating to know all I had not known. Pure existence, even in the crowds I love, will never be possible for me. Even with the men I love, this is the guilt that kills me, my adulterated presence, but please believe with all men I love to be. That memory of how he lay out on the floor in his great length, and when morning came, late we lingered in the vastest of all cities in this hemisphere, and all other movement stopped, nowhere else was there a stirring known to us. Yet that morning I stood by the window up three levels and watched a game of stickball, thinking of going away and wondering what would befall that man when he returned to his territory. The street, as you could guess, was thick with their running, and cars themselves paid that activity such respect I thought a ritual in the truest sense, where all time and all motion part around the space of men in that act as does a river flow past the large rock. And he slept in the next room, waiting out in his outward slumber for the time we climbed into the car, accepting all things from love, the currency of which is parting and glancing. Then went out of that city to Jersey, where instantly we could not find our way, and the maze of the outlands west starts that quick, where you may touch your finger to liberty and look so short a space to the columnar bust of New York and know those people exist as a speck in your own lonely heart, who will shortly depart taking a conveyance for the radial stretches past girls on corners, past drugstores, tired, high, hesitant creatures whom I also love in all their alienation, were it not so, past all equipment of countryside to temporary homes, where the wash of sea and other populations come once more to whisper only one thing for all people, a late and far away night yearning for and when he gets there. I want him to stay away from the taverns of familiarity. I want him to walk by the seashore alone in all height, which is nothing more than a mountain, or the hailing of a mast with big bright eyes. So rushing, all the senses come to him as a swarm of bees, and their sting is the power he uses as parts of the oldest brain. He hears the delicate thrust of water attacking. He hears the cries of falling gulls and watches silently the gesture of gray, bygone people. He hears their cries and messages. He never ignores any sound. As they come to him, he places them, puts clothes upon them, and gives them their place in their new explanation. There is never a lost time, nor any inhabitant of that time to go split by prisms or unplaced and unattended, that you may believe, is the breath he gives the great already occurred and nightly beginning world. So the populace of his mind. So with the populace of his mind, do you think his nights are not lonely? My God, of his love you know nothing, and of his false beginning you can know nothing, but this thing to be marked again only. He who worships the gods with his strictness can be of their company. The cat and the animals, the bird he took from the radiator of my car saying it had died a natural death, rarely seen in a bird. To play as aerial particulars can out of the span of man, and of all this man does not, he does. He walks by the sea in my memory and sees all things, and to him are presented at night the whispers of the most flung shores from Gloucester up. Milk in the river, you will be greeted on the outskirts of town with a vegetable brush and tips on living. An interview with a turkey farmer with gobbling in the background. The news that Bertrand Russell is a sick old fool. The seminar ends when the squat colonel announces the way to peace through war. And more corrupted reports follow you out the door. You are in the open, saturated air and return zipping up your pants, having made more of the latest news on the new snow.